It is the Big Sports Breakfast, and well, the State of Origin series will go to a decider on July 13. New South Wales absolutely dominating Queensland last night, 44 points to 12 in Game 2 in Perth. And what a performance it was from Nathan Cleary as well. Big bounce back from Game 1. There were plenty of people criticising his performance, and like the champion player he is, dominated with 2 tries, 24 points, 6 tackle busts and 68 run metres. But, gee, you've got to look at a long list of New South Wales players that delivered last night. Brian To'o was terrific on the wing. James Tedesco, again, was terrific at the back. Matt Burton, what about him on debut, was terrific as well. And Jake Trbojevic really tightened up things defensively. Jamie Rogers and Matt Burke with me this morning. It was a complete performance from New South Wales. And let's talk about Freddie Fittler as well, who got it right with those wholesale changes. It was a much more balanced New South Wales side.
Yeah, it certainly was. And it was good to see he didn't listen to any of the criticism, because Freddie and Greg Alexander copped it since the teams came out, that it was a choice of panic versus necessary changes. And this is exactly what Freddie Fittler did back in 2019 when they lost Game 1, and then Game 2 they took it to Perth. They made 7 changes, and the scoreline back then was 38-6, which is the same margin that we saw last night. But the Blues, they came out with a new energy last night, and I guess that's what happens when your season is on the line. There's no season, your series is on the line. They came out with a high energy, and that first half, it was almost like a story of two halves, because the first half was neck and neck. They were, the defensively both sides were strong, and then with that sin binning of Felice Kaufusi in that 38th minute, Queensland didn't score again, and New South Wales, Nathan Cleary, just ran riot.
It was an interesting lead up to it as well, Ryan. When you look at Queensland, they made the, whether you call it the hit and run type mission, they left it quite late. They went over on a Thursday. There is that flight, 5 hours, a bit of a time change. Did that play an effect on it, where Freddie's men were there early, knowing to get a job done, settling in? There was a bit of rain earlier in the week as well. So all of a sudden, maybe the planning of Queensland wasn't right to go into it. Certainly at training through the week, Queensland looked really comfortable, really at home. They were joking. They were obviously realising they were one up on the series. So spirits were great, but they were dampened last night. And albeit we've talked about the refereeing decision, New South Wales were the better team on the night. The way they their ball handling was fantastic. The way they broke the line was brilliant. We talked about fatigue, yes, but they still had the ability to manipulate defensive systems and get through. I think the other part as well, they lost a lot of ball by the one-on-one strip as well, Queensland, like 3 or 4 times last night. There was a lot of hands in the tackle, which they successfully challenged for New South Wales, the captain's challenge. So there was a few errors that crept into Queensland game last night that weren't there the week or game one.
Well, yeah, certainly a good point.
Well, Queensland missed 56 tackles. New South Wales had 61% of possession. You can't be winning any NRL match if you're only having 39% of the possession. And yeah, we did talk about fatigue probably crept into that, but New South Wales was definitely the better team on the night. Bring on the decider. It's going to be very interesting to see what this Freddie Fittler does with the team now, with the changes.
It's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing for Freddie Fittler, because there were pressure not to make too many changes, and he made 7.
Yeah.
Now it'll be interesting to see whether the call is to, well, Jack Whiten has to be picked. He was nearly their best player in game 1.
Yeah. He was out because of COVID. So.
You know, the big if is what Latrell Mitchell does when he returns for South, and then you've got a guy like Ryan Pappenhausen if he's fit as well. I mean, look, you're so reluctant to change a successful winning side, and that was a brilliant performance last night.
I suppose what he needs to go through, Freddie, is and we went through the rankings earlier on a little bit. Is there anyone that perhaps didn't perform in that team last night? Was it a case of the ball didn't go their way? I know Stephen Crichton was a little bit criticised for his performance last night, got a lower marking in a winning team, got ran around by Ponga. Is he the fool guy to bring someone back in, like a Whiten, for example? Do you... I'd keep Matt Burton in that team.
Yeah, well, if you could... To compare the two centres, you would have to keep Matt Burton over...
And the reason why, purely because for me, and being what was an old outside back, the catch pass that he gave under pressure to To'o to score that try in the left-hand corner there, I think that was just fantastic. That for me just understands time and space when you're playing And when there's that outside in defender coming at you quite hard, and he had that ability to get rid of the ball to score that try just before half time.
And Berkey, would you bring in a player like Latrell Mitchell if he does return and we see that incredible form that we know he's capable of, even though we haven't seen him play since April?
And look, again, we're playing devil's advocate here, aren't we? You know, and if you bring him in and he doesn't perform, then you say, well, we've brought him back too early. And his best form has been after a long periods of time in the game where he's gotten his confidence, he's got that match fitness to play. And as I said earlier in our program today, and it doesn't matter how many Broncos you do on the training park or how many times you smash the exercise bike, it is not the same as playing. Mm-hmm. Getting hit and getting off the ground and going again, that repeat effort is so different to training, and you can only do that by playing the game.
Well, let's talk Origin and much, much more with a man that is one of the rugby league greats, Peter Mortimer. Of course, we know the Mortimer brothers. They were famous through the 70s and 80s, weren't they? And Peter Mortimer played 190 games for Canterbury between 1977 and 1987. He's fourth on the all-time try-scoring list, and he joins us this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, everyone.
And I'm sure you're delighted with that result last night from New South Wales. What did you make of the performance?
Well, it was a pleasure to watch. And I think Jamie mentioned before, the last time they went to Perth, it was a similar result. I'm just cautious of Queensland because I think from memory that then they played at Suncorp and were beaten in the last game. And with Origin, you got to play the moment because there's no guarantees going forward or looking back.
Well, and you're right. So Queensland have won the past five deciders at Suncorp. Peter, in your mind, what do New South Wales have to do to get to Queensland and win the series?
Well, they've got to be careful not to fracture because, as you guys said before, there's so many players that are entitled to come back in, but the players who replace them played outstanding footy. You know, so Freddie's got another battle on his hands just to make sure he keeps the momentum and the mentality going, but he makes sure he picks the side that is going to beat Queensland, not a political side, not a side that he'd like to pick, the side that's going to deliver the goods.
It's interesting, Peter, as well, isn't it? Because it's opportunistic, isn't it? Like someone like Jack Whiten gets COVID and was one of the New South Wales' strongest player in game one. Matt Burton comes in and gets a start. How much do you place on, as you said, being in the moment to be able to take that opportunity?
Yeah, so that's the difficult thing Freddie's got to look at. You know, Jack's entitled to that position, you would think, but then Matt Burton's come in, he's fresh, he's young, he's got maturity of a bloke 10 years older than himself, and you know, played a major part in a very successful game. So, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not Freddie.
Yeah. Peter, obviously you played for New South Wales. You were unlucky not to get selected for New South Wales at State of Origin level. But obviously, Steve, I always think with Steve that, you know, that immortal shot of him sinking to his knees in jubilation when New South Wales won the series for the first time. What does State of Origin mean to you?
I played before Origin came in, so I played in 79. I would have loved to have played an Origin game. I think it's the greatest one-on-one contest in the world. And when I say one-on-one team, you know, two teams, two states that are proud of their own state, no matter where they play their week-to-week footy. And it's probably, you know, the most genuine and hard-fought contest of any sport in the world.
Peter, we've had quite a lot of mixed reaction on the text line about Felice Kaufusi being sin-bin in the 38th minute. I don't think it was controversial. Ryan has got the opposite opinion and he's been copying it on the text line a little bit this morning.
For me, my point was, I guess, the inconsistencies of the officiating at Origin level. I think New South Wales absolutely were always going to dust Queensland. They were 100% the better team. That was my point. But yeah, just to answer Jamie's question, Peter.
Yeah, look, some players from some teams are taught to push the rules right to the limit, and the way he was restricting the New South Wales player with his knees and that sort of stuff, he was definitely playing for his own advantage to slow things down, and that's against the rules. So I think the decision was right.
See, I have This is my debate when I talk about sport and talk about, you know, even parenting when you're growing up with kids as well. When you play sport, you learn to cheat. You learn to cheat because you try and push the limits until you get brought back. It's like parenting as well. You know, the kids will do anything to get the sort of, you know, the treat. It's a tough one because, you know, as I've said, the text messages are chatting away. Ryan's getting smashed
he
this morning
getting smashed.
At the same time at the moment. But does he have a case to answer for, Pete? You know, when it's all washed up, we've spoken about this morning, does he have a case to answer, or were New South Wales just too strong on the night?
Look, some people are better cheats than others.
That's exactly right.
But look, New South Wales were dominant on the night, and they all came ready to play, and they played some brilliant football. It was a great spectacle, no matter who you followed. You know, every player tries to get to push the rules to the limit to try to get the best advantage they can, and sometimes you just go slightly over the limit. It was a great game. I really enjoyed watching it.
And Peter, as a legend of the Bulldogs club, you must have been absolutely delighted with the debut of Matt Burton and what he brought to the side there last night. And as we were discussing before we introduced you, there are a lot of players to come back. You know, Matt, when he goes back to the Bulldogs, do you expect him to take that confidence and maybe lift the side? Because we saw flashes, particularly there on the Queen's Birthday Monday over Parramatta, that they do have it there, the Bulldogs, that they can, you know, really deliver some quality footy.
Yeah, look, Matt has always done that from the start. He's that sort of player. He's very mature and he sees things from a distance. And I just think that the quality of player around him just at the moment at the Bulldogs doesn't allow him to reach, you know, the heights that he's capable of doing. And I think they will over the next couple of years. You know, he's got that way to read a game. He's got the physical size. He's got a great kick. He's got nice hands, as you mentioned before, and he's got it all. The higher the level of the player that plays around him, the better that Matt Burton will play.
Yeah, it seemed like he really enjoyed getting back with that Penrith crew as well that he'd been with before. I saw there was a Brian To'o handshake at the end there for that would have rehearsed a couple of times. I'm going to take you down memory lane for a bit, Pete, as well. And you played in a great era with some great players, obviously with your brothers as well. Do you like where the game is now, obviously comparable to where it's been? Do you like the changes and the style that's being played these days?
Yeah, look, it's great skill. I remember when I was a young bloke, I'd listen to older fellas and think, I'm not going to be like that when I get old, because everyone talks about how good they were in their own days. Well, there is an enormous level of skill across all players these days, and they spend the whole week tuning those skills. So the game has evolved. The game is different to the game from yesterday, but still at this level, the skill level is unbelievable.
What do you admire most about the players these days? Is it the physicality that they have?
Yes, definitely that. That's a big focus at training. I love the way they're aerobatics, the way they can cap a ball in the air, twist themselves, put the ball just inside the corner post. And, you know, so they're very aware of where they are at the moment. And, you know, there's a huge level of skill in kicking. You know, all avenues of rugby league, they've got finely tuned skills in all areas.
That is quite special.
And, Peter, just before we let you go, obviously as a Bulldogs legend, what are your thoughts on what's happening at the club at the moment in terms of what direction you think they should go towards in a head coaching role? Mick Potter's doing a great job as the interim coach. Do you see them keeping him on maybe for another year until they find the head coach that they want?
Yeah, Jamie, I'm on the board at the Bulldogs now, so As the chairman and Phil Gould get the chance to release more details, and there's a lot of work going on at the moment, then we'll all hear them. But I know where I'd like it to go, and I think it is going that direction. But as far as the detail, I'll keep that to myself just for the moment.
No, fair enough. Peter, would love to ask you just how Steve's going at the moment. Obviously, we've seen a bit in the press. Buzz Rothfield has written a lot about just his health at the moment. How is Turvey travelling these days?
Yeah, look, thanks for asking. I'm amazed at how many people have had dementia in their lives with someone, because everyone you speak to is bringing up Stephen. He's a high profile and looking, being looked after extremely well. he's had a, the Canterbury Leagues Club put on a series of luncheons for him where we gather opponents that he used to play against and players he played with, and that really helps him. For example, he had Peter Sterling, Eric Groth and Peter Wynn come along to a luncheon at the Leagues Club, and he finds it hard to complete a conversation. However, when someone talks about a Kangaroo tour or a New South Wales Origin game or whatever, he responds immediately, and it's really good for him, to do that. There's so many wonderful people have put their hand up and offered to visit him and make the days that he's got left really worthwhile and enjoyable. So, to answer your question, I suppose your listeners want to know, he's being well looked after. He's not in any physical danger or anything. He struggles a little bit with his mind, and those people who are listening who know about dementia will know exactly where we're at. So, we appreciate what so many people have done to make his day-to-day living, enjoyable.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear, because he's just one of the most loved characters. I had the fortune of working with Turvey a couple of times back in Fox Sports, a few years ago, and, just what a lovely man he was, and just a great of the games. You said before you don't like talking about how great you were, but it's probably one of the occasions, Peter, where it's okay to talk about the past. As you mentioned, it's really helping him at the moment.
We're really lucky. We're living in an electronic era, so there are things that will back up what Stephen says about himself.
Yes. Hey, how's the wine business going these days? I know you and Julie love it up there. I think you're at Orange, aren't you, with the wines? How's it all going up there?
Yeah, we're in Orange, yeah. Wine business is going great. It's a great business to be in. I mean, everyone that comes to visit you is already happy, and then when they leave, they're happier. I mean, I've got a great job. But we've got some really nice wines, and it's a great industry in Australia, and the people that are in it are very, approachable. They're very. It's just a lovely industry to be in, and we're going quite well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, Peter, it's great to talk to you this morning. You are a legend of our game, and great to get your thoughts on Origin as well this morning. And, we'll watch this space with the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs and see how things unfold, but hopefully they can return to some winning form, and the Bulldogs faithful will be very, very happy and up and about. Peter, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Peter Mortimer joining us on the Big Sports Breakfast, and we're taking your calls on the open line number 1353 53, and the SMS as well, 0419 767 272. Heroes and villains this morning.
He's just got himself a slogan there, hasn't he? Arrive happy, leave happier. Yeah. That is fantastic.
Taking your calls next. It is the Big Sports Breakfast. We're filling in this morning Ryan Phelan, Jamie Rogers and Matt Burke for Jared Middleton, Laurie Daly and also Michael Clark, who are taking a well-earned break, and we're taking your heroes and villains this morning. Give us a call, 1353 53, or the SMS 0419 767 272. Good to see
someone that's got your back,
come
Ryan.
To my defence. Oh, there's a few, but one's put their name to it anyway.
Yeah, Brett said, morning, Ryan, Jamie and Berkey. Hero today, Ryan, for saying how it was and the officiating in the game. Villains or the keyboard warriors, most probably not putting a name to their text.
Well, it's an opinion, though, isn't it? And no opinion is ever right
or wrong. It's a discussion
wrong.
Point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why it sometimes gets a little heated sometimes and a bit feisty, if that's the word.
Yeah, but definitely the focus is, and as we have discussed this morning, that amazing performance from New South Wales. Mm. Freddie Fittler, take a bow, did an amazing job. Nathan Cleary, take a bow. What a bounce back from game one. In fact, that balanced New South Wales side are now favourites for the deciding game up there in Queensland. Let's go to the open line number 1353 53. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, guys. How are you all this morning?
Well.
First off, my hero is whoever was responsible for the multi on Friday morning.
Yeah, that was Blocker.
Was Loza?
No, Blocker. Blocker.
Steve Roach. Steve Roach. Did you get on it, is the question.
There you go.
Did you get on it?
We're my hero now. Ryan, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to do it to your face. Mate, get over it. I mean, if you look at the first game, if they had enforced the rules in the first game, New South Wales scores in that last couple of minutes. They held them down and held them down and held them down, and the referee did nothing.
Yeah.
Now, how far do you want to go with throwing out the rule book? Do we go back to head-high tackles?
My point was that it definitely changed the context of the game that could have, you know, a verbal warning, timing off from Ashley Klein could have, I think, you know, saved that position. But in saying that, Bob, I agree with you. New South Wales would have absolutely won the game regardless of that.
Okay.
You know.
Let's go back to the verbal warning bit. These guys aren't stupid. If you're going to give away five penalties in a row, you've got to expect that the referee's going to say enough is enough.
Mm.
And somebody's going to go for a walk. They weren't surprised. They knew it was going to happen because they just had nothing left. Mm. The only way to avoid a try was to keep breaking the rules. And, I mean, the rules are the rules. If you don't want the rule book to apply to a particular game, what are we playing?
Yeah, the out for the captain in that instance there, because as you said, they know the out for the captain is, oh, sir, you didn't give us a warning. The referee, as I said, the referee doesn't have to give a warning. It's not that it's not up to them to say, guys, listen, are you okay on that side? You're giving away five penalties. I'm just going to. It's like, no. And he said it's unacceptable. Mm. And so he doesn't, and he's going to cop the criticism about it as well. Yep. from the Queenslanders. But in the end, it shouldn't take away from the performance of New South Wales. Cleary was outstanding. The guys that stepped in, Burton did his job in a debut game. The forwards got that ability to go forward. Jamie, you mentioned Jake Dobrovich to start with, was finding his feet and setting that pack going forward. So there's plenty of positive outlining or outweighing the sin bin.
Good on you, Bob. I'm thick-skinned. I'll take your villain this morning. Thanks for your call, mate.
Finally, you still got me?
Yeah, you're still there. Keep going, Bob.
I would just like to congratulate Freddie for implementing the Penrith game plan, because once Burton slotted back into his old spot, it was just like watching a Penrith football team.
It really was.
Everything just worked away on that left-hand side. It was just like watching Penrith with Burton back in.
They call it
and
cohesion.
Maybe the clue for Canterbury, put Burton in the centres and give him some space.
Yep. 100%.
Good stuff, Bob. Enjoy your Monday, and we've got plenty more coming on the open line number 1353 53. Heroes and villains this morning. We'll get the news and we'll have more of your calls on the other side. It is the Big Sports Breakfast. The open line number this morning, 1353 53, for heroes and villains. The SMS 0419767272. A massive win to New South Wales last night, 44 points to 12, and when you consider that we were saying that Nathan Cleary was the star of the show with 24 points, consider this as well, Jamie, that with Brian To'o scoring as well as Angus Crichton, that means of the 44 points, 32 points were scored by Penrith. So we were talking just before the break, weren't we, just about how important the synergy of the selection of this New South Wales squad in correlation with what they are used to there at Penrith. It certainly came to the fore last night.
Yeah, and that's why it was interesting watching Matt Burton sort of just slip back into what he would have been like at the Panthers. And also, Ryan, we should mention a little bit more about the women's result. New South Wales won 20-14 over Queensland, and also for the New South Wales under-19s in both the male and female sides also got the win over Queensland. So much success for all of the New South Wales teams across the board. And on the women's, they had a record crowd of 11,321. And in terms of the TV ratings on Fox and KO, it was up 8% on previous games. So outstanding skill. It was just great to watch, and it's great as well that from next year there'll be two games in the series.
Yeah, it is sometimes a little bit odd, it feels, watching a State of Origin game on a Sunday, but the fact that they've really built around it, the women's game and also the international games, it really gives a nice flavour to Rep Brown in this standalone State of Origin weekend. I think it's been a success, and it looks as though it's hopefully here to stay.
I think, as you said, Jamie, the skills were outstanding. Mm. And the hard part is where you compare. You can't compare the guys to the girls. You got to compare the girls to the girls. And the skills that they showed
And the physicality that they showed was absolutely outstanding. New South Wales, as you said, got the win up. Some great performances and well done. And so it should be a standalone event anyhow. And I'm sure it's got to go to three as well, because you can't go a two-match series. Like, you've got to get to three. You've got to have a decider.
Yeah, so if you missed those scores across the weekend, New Zealand too good for Tonga and Auckland. They won 26-6 at Mount Smart Stadium. Samoa hammered the Cook Islands 42-12, and Papua New Guinea beat Fiji 24-14. Yeah, 20-14 was the score. New South Wales beating Queensland in the State of Origin women. So a successful rep round this weekend. Just in other things to keep an eye on this week, obviously Wednesday we've got the test between Australia and Sri Lanka kicking off. Travis Head, they're talking, might be in a little bit of doubt just with the hamstring injury, and they're talking for the first time since 2016. Glenn Maxwell could be returning to the test side. I'll go on record and say I'm a big Glenn Maxwell fan. You know, he particularly plays well at a subcontinent level, you know, with the turning decks over there. So hopefully if Travis Head is out, he could be a welcome addition, you would think. It'd be great to see him return.
What is he, about 6, 7?
Yeah, probably around there.
Probably around then, which means it's going to be around spin time when he gets in there as well. Look, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we know him for, you know, the reverse sweep, left-handed sweep, slog shots, that kind of stuff, obviously when he's a right-hander. And I suppose that the question is, does he have the temperament to last out the red ball game and I suppose curb that aggression, if that's the case? Now, he's played test matches before and he's done well. I don't see why he couldn't make that transition. If we're talking, you know, Warner can do it, you know, why can't he as well? And get to that stage where, you know, if there's not many other batters around who can fill that spot in that void. Does Mitch Marsh get another start? You know, so it's an interesting one. He obviously throws an option of a bowling option as well when he chucks down those little sort of, you know, spinners or little darts that he does.
And obviously you're looking forward to the test series with Australia taking on England this week. A lot of talking about selection with Origin this morning, but there's going to be some selection headaches as well for the Wallabies.
Yeah, that's right. Taniela Tupou is still in doubt with that calf injury. He's been training with the squad, but will he be able to, and this is what we talk about, sort of comparable with a Latrell Mitchell thing, you know, like it's all well and good to train well in amongst it. But when you're under the cosh and you're going hard, and obviously his position front row, plenty of weight through there, does the calf last in that space? The other ones are, and I think just like Peter Mortimer a second ago when he said, you know, I'd fortunate we don't have to make the decisions. Who plays 10 for the Wallabies? Does James O'Connor play? Does Noel Olesio play? Do you bring back Quade Cooper, who plays 15? So plenty of questions to be had. You can sort of work it out when they go to training and they've got the training vests on. And when you get handed that bib, you think to yourself, well, I'm not in the team this week, you know. So if the media's there, you can sort of maybe come to your own conclusions as to who's going to be in the team. But certainly a concern.
But is he, that's a huge blow because he's sort of the face of this test series.
Yeah, absolutely. There was I saw an ad on him last night. He was walking in with a...
it's a great ad. I had a little chuckle watching that ad.
He's got the white hair happening at the moment too. So, it is. And you want your best players out there playing. And England, albeit a couple of injuries, they only finished their comp only the other day with Leicester winning against Saracens. They've got some players that need to be refreshed. But a three-game series, back-to-back-to-back, it's going to be tough.
Well, we need the Wallabies to lift our spirits as Australians because the most recent result as far as internationals are concerned, the Matildas absolutely hammered 7-0. They lost to Spain the other day, and it was a bit of a shock result. I don't think we saw a result that lopsided coming. To talk more about that, it's a very good morning to Phil Moss. Hello, Mossy.
Good morning, Ryan, Jamie and Maddie Burt. Great to be with you this morning. And big New South Wales grins this morning. We said that Nathan Cleary would step up last night, and he certainly did that. But wow, what credit to Jake Trbojevic and other big boys who gave him so much more protection than Gabe won. I think that was the secret sauce to the win last night.
Wasn't it what? Tell me, mate, you talk about sort of standing up. What happened to our girls the other day against Spain? And I know that Spain, I think Emily Gelnick said the other day that Spain are probably the top team in the world right now, but 7-0. Where through from here? Where to from here, I should say?
I'm assuming you detected my tactic before, Matty B, by deflecting Ryan's...
well done. Correct. Yes. And like a good journalist I am, I get back right on the point, mate.
Exactly. No, look, it wasn't... it certainly wasn't a good night out for our Matildas. And, gee whiz, where to start with this? It's let's just start with the fact that we were completely under strength against one of the world powers who are literally in the final stages of preparation for the Euros in Spain, getting ready for those Euros. So the mismatch was, it was penthouse to outhouse stuff.
Who makes that decision, mate?
Well, this is the thing, Matty, right? So with all our stars out, and when I say that, you know, due respect to the likes of Emily Van Egmond, Claire Polkinghorne, Tamika Yallop, who were probably the names that most would recognise who were in the side yesterday morning. But if resting the key players from the Matildas, the stars that are playing over in Europe, if resting them for this camp wasn't part of the plan, it should have been. So if it was sprung on the coaching staff at the last minute that they needed a rest, that's poor planning.
Yeah.
And if it was part of the plan, why would you take on Spain?
Yes.
Seriously, like with a severely understrength side, because that's not helping anyone. It's not really answering any questions, as Tony Gustafsson said it was planned to do, because the disparity in quality was just stark.
And it's been a frustration for a lot of football fans. We saw what Graham Arnold went through for the Socceroos campaign, for example, in the qualification for the World Cup, you know, A-League teams not releasing a lot of players and the like. It's something that they probably don't have the balance right, you would think, at the moment, Mossy.
Yeah, that's right. Look, and post-game, Gustafsson talked about Legacy 23 and you know, the pathway forward to develop more and more players for the Matildas through the W League. And the pathways, the youth pathways. And he said that this result really lays that bare. Well, I don't think we needed a 7-0 shellacking at the hands of one of the world superpowers to tell us that. I don't think that does anything for the confidence of the female players in Australia, and certainly not those who donned the Matildas jersey yesterday morning. We know there's work to do. There's a lot of work to do, and it starts with more games. And I think this Legacy 23, and I'm not a big one for trotting out the word legacy ourselves. I think that's for others to speak about. But if there is going to be a lasting impact from hosting a World Cup, it needs to be more opportunities for players to play games and more opportunities for coaches to coach games and coach players. And I think it starts and stops there. Right? It's going to be fantastic to host a World Cup, but we need to make sure that we are going deep into this tournament as one of the co-host nations. So results like last night don't fill me with confidence, and I'm sure I'm not speaking on my own there.
So just on that point then, Mossy, I know Graham Arnold was calling for the A-League season to be moved forward. I know there's discussions about that at an APL level at the moment to do that. If they do bring it forward, how far do you think they should bring it forward that gives these players enough time to get some time into their legs and to see the right squad, the right players that we can pick for that World Cup?
It's a really tough one to answer, Ryan, because there's so many things at play when you talk about bringing a season forward, not least the television deal and airtime that's available, because that's a key driver of how a season is played out. So there's games to be played. There's the Australia Cup, which is the old FFA Cup. You've got quarterfinals, semifinals, the final. You've got a FIFA window in late September, where the players who are in the sights of Graham Arnold will be able to get some minutes. But is it enough rhythm? Is it enough continuity to have players ready for the biggest sporting event in the world? The answer is probably no. So you would like to think with the World Cup in November, you would like to think players are getting 2 months or 10 games under their belt, so eight to 10 games at least, because I don't think players find their rhythm until about round 4, 5 or 6. And then the other question is, how many of those players who aren't in Graham Arnold's sights at the moment may be able to force their way in if they're playing regularly and playing well? And how many players look to go over to Europe, maybe on loan spells like Archie Thompson did back in 2000 and
6 in the lead-up to the Germany World Cup when it was heading to the PSV Eindhoven. So a lot of questions to be answered between now and in the next couple of months.
Well, Archie's been urging A-League players to go overseas to make the World Cup.
Yeah, that's right. And he was caught in a perfect storm, Jamie, because Gus Hiddink was the Socceroos coach. He was double-hatting with PSV at the time. So it was a pretty easy route for Archie to take. And it was crucial for him to be ready for that World Cup at that time. So, yeah, he said, look, if anyone's got the opportunity to do as I did, that's definitely a good avenue to take to get yourselves ready for a World Cup. First of all, get yourselves in the squad. And secondly, have yourself ready to perform at that level. So I don't blame him for coming out and saying that. It's not, I think the A-League men has prepared a lot of these players to do what they did against UAE and Peru at the last hurdle. And there's no reason it can't again. The problem is the timing of the season, of course. So the good news was, I think, for the Socceroos, really, with Kai Rolls now going overseas, there was only one player in the starting 11 against Peru, which was Matt Leckie, who is now still playing in the A-League. So we're starting to get more and more players going abroad and playing more regular football.
Mm. Hey, tell me, mate, you're close to Graham Arnold and you coached with him as well. How was he in that period of time there when he was copping so much heat and had to go to these two extra games for the World Cup? Was he still confident in his beliefs, coaching ability and the rest of it?
Yeah, he was, Matty. That's the one thing. Yeah, did he go to some, dark places as a lot of coaches do when they're really under the pump? Yes, of course he did. But they weren't dark places where it was him questioning his ability or his belief in his methods to get us there. It was reaching deep within himself to work out what he could do more of to get the result that we needed to. And, it can be a lonely place coaching, but he's got good support around him in his staff and his family and some close friends. And he never lost belief. He knew that he was the right man to get them there, and he knew that he'd set the foundation for the players to get over the line in the end. And I think there was a lot of unfair criticism of him personally, but also the situation. People forget that we went to the last hurdle under Ange Postecoglou, and he had a guy called Timmy Cahill in his squad. We don't have a Timmy Cahill anymore, and we still got there. So I think it's and by the way, there was 2 years of COVID, 500 days without a game with the Socceroos during this campaign that went for over 1,000 days, which is unheralded. So I just think he deserves all the credit that we can give him.
Great stuff, Mossy, and looking forward to you joining us in the studio on Wednesday.
Oh, I can't wait for that, Ryan. I'm sure whichever seat I take will be white hot.
No golf then, mate, obviously.
I'll probably leave it lukewarm. No, not this week, Matty. I won the comp at Longreath the other week. So
how many points did you get?
That for a while.
Superb.
I ended up with 37, and it was blowing a southerly gale at Longreath. So anyone who plays at Longreath will know what that means.
What are you playing off at the moment?
Mate, let's just say I'm down from 22 to about 16 at the moment.
Okay, so that's not bad off 16. Well done, Mossy. Oh, well, you're in good form on the golf course. I'm sure you'll be in good form on Wednesday. We look forward to chatting then.
Great to talk. Have a great day.
Phil Moss joining us. We'll take more of your heroes and villains on the other side. Plenty coming in this morning as far as heroes and villains are concerned. The open line number 13 53 53, the SMS 0419 767 272. This is an interesting text, and talk about interesting debate this morning. Nathan Cleary, surely he overtakes Daly Cherry Evans now for the Australian halfback job. What's everyone's thoughts? That's from Sam. Well, yeah, if you were to pick the Australian side right now, you would have to say Nathan Cleary. And really, Nathan Cleary was unavailable when Daly Cherry Evans slotted back into that role. So Nathan Cleary for mine, I think he'd be the popular pick.
Kicks goals, controls the game. It was interesting, and the commentators and Joey spoke about it last night. I think he kicked on about the fourth tackle at one stage. He had a little chip over the top and put pressure on Queensland. So he's taking right options when given the tools to do so. And that obviously comes down to your forward pack. And he's just got control of the game, hasn't he? And where he sits with Penrith and guiding them around, he's played big matches now. So, and he's only a young pup. So you're right, he could be around for a long time.
Heroes and villains this morning. Let's go to the open line number. Good morning, Ash.
Yeah, Yes, good morning, gentlemen and young lady. How are we this morning?
Very well. What do you got for us?
My hero, we would be watching the AFL yesterday, watching the Collingwood Giants game, and the umpire in there, there was one umpire, made a couple of different kind of decisions. I was voting for Collingwood, though against Collingwood, but he just explained himself very well. Like, you could hear him talking to the players and explaining to him why he made that decision, and I didn't agree with him, but you could see where he was coming from. I just thought it was very good. Talking on the same level as the players instead of thinking he was above them and stuff like that, where you get some umpires and referees. I just thought they'd done a really good job. You know, they don't get enough pats on the back. They always seem to get bloody dark spready. They always get to blame the things that the players are in control of. But I just thought it was a very good umpiring.
Yeah, cool. Well
and
said.
Explaining themselves for the decisions he made.
What about your villain, Ash?
Ashley Klein, mate, you just listen to Freddie, you know, listen to the coach. You both sitting there talking about forward passes and all that. That burnt pass there to the winger, that was about half a metre before the line. The winger's caught it on the line. Like, if he's going to whinge about stuff, like, let's be fair. But Klein, I have to say, look, it's Origin. We don't play home and away. My heroes are... referees and umpires, but me villain is the same. They're a necessary evil.
Yeah, all right. No, good opinion, Ash. And yeah, there's been a lot of divisive opinion this morning on the text line in particular about the refereeing last night. And look, I'm someone, I'll honestly say, I don't like having a crack at the referees, and I'm, you know, it's a comment. I wouldn't say that I'm trying to be overly critical of Ashley Klein. I just don't want to see sin bins for ruck infringements, in a big game like the State of Origin, which we haven't seen consistently ruled on in the past.
The game, when we're talking rugby league, rugby union, football, AFL, the game is such big business now. You've got to get the right call. And back in the old days, you know, I'm going back 20 years when I played, and you'd get the referee on the run. He'd talk to you on the run on the way to the next play and say, hey, mate, you know, your number seven's, you know, doing whatever, make sure he doesn't. So you can have a chat on the way there. But it's big business now. So you've got to get the right calls. So that's why the bunker is such a big influence on the games these days. The bunker being, you know, the video referee and VAR. So they're on a... they're on a hiding to nothing sometimes, because the old days of tackling someone and sliding into touch but giving the try, that used to be given, you know, back in the day, where nowadays they magnify to the nth degree. So as a referee, you're never going to win. So I don't know what the solution is to be able to give them free rein but not be able to, I suppose, put the whistle in the pocket.
All right. Well, we've had heroes and villains this morning. The prize this morning, a kombucha pack and also a $100 tab gift voucher to give away. And the production team, we've had a discussion. And it is Trent. We're giving it to Trent, who called us up about Matt Burton and what a terrific debut it was, and also the Queensland supporters. Yeah, we can get stuck into the Queensland supporters. Look, you know, I am a Queensland supporter. I try to stay impartial as much as I can for, you know, obviously when we're talking at a professional level. But this is what State of Origin is about. You give it to the other mob. You absolutely give it to them. So as Queenslanders, absolutely we should be copping it. But Game 3, July 13th. Wow.
How good.
Can't
bring
wait
it
for
on.
That. Yeah, yeah, good. Looking it's forward to it.
And a cauldron like to play in. Just quite incredible. Thank you for this morning, mate.
Yeah, it's been good, Berkey, and you'll be back again tomorrow. Jamie, you will
I
be
won't.
Taking the
I'll
morning
be back
off.
On Wednesday.
Yeah, but it's been great to have you, team, and we'll be with you for this week while Jared Middleton, Laurie Daly, and also Michael Clark take a well-earned break. And I'm sure they wouldn't have even been listening this morning. They would have all been having a nice sleep in, and well-deserved indeed. Make sure you stay tuned, because Racing HQ is coming up next with Dave Stanley. Stay with us.